This is a preliminary study of regional and varietal as well as crop year differences between metal contents of scoured cottons. By way of introduction, the reason we did this study is that it's pretty well documented that some metal cations, including calcium and magnesium, interfere with reactive and direct dyeing of cotton. These cations may be present in the water source. If a textile mill has hard water, they may see precipitation of the dyes, or the metals may be present in the cotton itself. Since previous work has shown by Perkins and Brushwood that a number of metal cations are present in raw cotton, and by raw cotton I mean unwashed, unscoured cotton. These differences in metal cation contents of the raw cottons may be due to either environmental, regional, or varietal factors. For the environmental, if the cotton gets rained on in the field, it may wash off some of these metals. Regional soil differences, there may be higher calcium contents in soils in Texas than in Georgia, or even varietal differences. And another thing is that the metal content may not be distributed evenly among the different structural layers of the fiber. The fiber is made up of not only cellulose, but it's got an inner lumen, which has material, and as well as a primary cell wall, which includes different structural components than cellulose. For instance, in the lumen, we have soluble salts present, such as potassium malate, sodium chloride, as well as several other salts. Most of these salts should be removed by either water washing or a scouring procedure. The primary cell wall is known to contain a large amount of pectin, which serves to cross-link the pectin. And this pectin layer is also removed during the scouring process if it's an efficient process. The secondary cell wall, which is primarily made up of cellulose, may also contain metal cations, which are bound through a hydrogen bonding sort of process. It's these metals that might be expected to interfere with any kind of dyeing at the final stage, assuming that we have an efficient scouring and bleaching process beforehand. Okay, this is a rough diagram of a cross-section of a cotton fiber, just to show you those different layers I'm talking about. The inner lumen here is where most of the soluble salts might be expected to be found. Since the cotton fiber was a living cell, once the fiber dries out, it has a lot of residue from that growing process. Can find the arrow. The outer layer here represents that primary cell wall, which besides wax also contains pectin, which has that high amount of calcium content. And then on the outer surface of that, there may also be soluble salts present as well from when the cotton was in it, before the bowl opens. It's in a solution of salt. And one thing I wanted to mention too is that the some of these things may depend on the maturity of that fiber. As the fiber gets older, that secondary cell wall is going to be a higher proportion than either the primary cell wall or the contents that are in the lumen. Okay, so the purpose of this study was to determine the relative concentrations of 8 different metal cations, which are calcium, magnesium, sodium, potassium, copper, nickel, iron, and zinc. And we want to see if they're present either as the soluble salt component present in the pectin layer or present in the cellulose once the scouring process has been finalized. We also want to see if we can determine some varietal, regional, or crop year variations in this metal content in the cellulose layer to see if we might get regional differences, say, between dyeability of fiber coming from India versus the U.S. What we did was we took 2 varieties of cotton, and they were grown in 3 different regions over 2 different crop years. So we have a total of 12 samples that we're looking at. Each cotton was washed with deionized water until no further salt was washed away. The solution was subsequently analyzed for the 8 metals. We took the washed cotton and subjected it to a scouring procedure using tetrabutyl ammonium hydroxide, and that solution was then analyzed for these 8 metals. And finally, that scoured cotton was taken and digested in nitric acid, and the digest was analyzed for the eight metals to give an indication of what's left over in the cellulose itself. All of the metal analysis was performed using inductively coupled plasma atomic emission spectroscopy. Okay, this shows a comparison, and these are averages over all 12 samples. We've got the metal contents from that initial water extract, and you can see there are several metals which are there in a fairly high proportion. Primarily potassium present as potassium malate in the lumen, but also some amount of calcium as well as magnesium and a smaller amount of sodium. The scour solution, it has a very high amount of calcium as a proportion of its cross-sectional area of the fiber. That the cross-sectional area of the pectin content is very small in proportion to the fiber itself. So this indicates that there's a higher concentration of calcium present in that pectin layer. And finally, the final digest of that cellulose, we also see a fairly high content of calcium as well as some magnesium. The other four metals that we looked at, the nickel, copper, iron, and zinc, don't show nearly the same sorts of concentrations, but we do see some indication for at least iron and zinc being in some of these fibers, even in the cellulose component itself. Now this plot shows the metal content of magnesium as a function of microNair, and from this, and this is from the water extract itself, and this is what I mentioned about as the fiber gets more mature, and that's indicated by microNair as an approximation, as it gets more mature, that metal content goes down simply because the lumen is a smaller area in proportion to the entire fiber. The same thing happens with potassium. As the fiber matures, you find less potassium content due to the shrinking of that lumen. And this slide shows the calcium content of the scour solution as a function of microNair, and you can see that it also behaves in a similar fashion. The calcium content goes down as the fiber becomes more mature because the pectin layer is smaller in proportion to the entire fiber as the fiber gets more mature. Now this slide shows a regional comparison of the acid digest. This is the final cellulose after it's been washed and scoured, and we finally digested in acid, and we wanted to see if we can see any kind of differences between different growing regions, in this case Texas, Georgia, and Mississippi. And the only real difference, statistically significant difference, we found was in calcium. The difference in calcium between Texas and Georgia has a small but significant difference. Whether that really means very much, I'm not real sure, but it may be differences in soil types, so we may have to do some further investigation as far as the soils go in those two areas. But then we compared the crop year variation in these eight different metal contents and didn't see any significant differences in any of the metals as a function of the crop year. And finally, a variety comparison. We looked at FM832 versus FM966, and we did see some small difference again, not in calcium, but between magnesium contents. This might indicate that the two different varieties utilize magnesium in a slightly different way, but these numbers are very small. The differences are fairly small, so the significance of this it remains a little uncertain as well. So in conclusion, a comparison of scoured cottons indicates a possible regional difference in calcium and a possible variety of difference in magnesium content, with no crop year differences seen. And it's my feeling that any metal effects on any kind of dyeing process are probably due to an inefficient scouring process, since inefficient scouring would leave a lot of that pectin layer there, which has a lot of calcium in it, and then when the fiber gets sent on to a dyeing process, it's also an alkaline process, and this this calcium is then going to be released, and the effect of calcium on these dyes is to chelate with the dye and precipitate it, so you're going to get a more inefficient process. The metals bound in the cellulose would only be expected to come out under acidic conditions. Since we scoured this under highly alkaline conditions, and these metals remained in the cellulose. So if we instead treat it with an acidic solution, if there's some process in which acid is included, these metals might come out and cause some kind of interference process. But that's all I have. Thank you. Yeah, he had plenty of time.
Right.
Would it be possible to incorporate, a lot of breeders do soil analysis as part of their studies, and have you considered maybe incorporating that into some future samples?
Oh, that'd be very useful. I had no idea they did that, but that would be a very useful thing if we could get the soil analysis as well as the fiber from that. The problem, I have really no real good idea, is if you go to Texas, are you going to get soil differences from one field to another? Or is all that soil in the panhandle of Texas going to be pretty similar? So
That would be one of the keys that we typically can get to, associated with a particular breeder that would provide cottons and soils
from the same plot. And that would be excellent, yeah. That would be
excellent. We are getting ready to take delivery of some cottons to Don Jones, because this will be the second year of cottons that are interested in. We've been growing over a bunch of states. I think it's about 3 or 9 states or something like that. So we can talk to Don about it.
Because I know they can do soil analysis as part of some of this.
I think that's part of it was discussions with Cotton Incorporated that initiated this study. I mean, I think they get some calls every once in a while asking about this, are metals different from different areas, and do they cause any problems? So I think this sort of justifies a further study with a lot more care taken as to where the cotton is grown. Joe? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well, if you wet the fibers properly, the water will go into the lumen. I mean, it takes a lot of agitation, and it takes some repeated washings too. You don't get it all off in one wash. You got to do it, and then you got to do it again. Conductivity, that's right, of the extract. So yeah, we repeat the washing until we get no conductivity in the extract solution, and then we add all the extracts together, and then look at the metal content. Al?
Just a couple of comments. One is that you mentioned that there was a hydrogen bonding of the cellulose to the metal. It's actually the hydroxyl hydrogen point of the way, and it's the long pairs of oxygen.
Okay.
Also, there's a conformational change in the cellulose chain, likely when it forms a complex with these metals. And it would be possible. We've done a study of a sodium iodide complex of solid miles, for instance, which is a really nice system. And it would be wonderful to get some other similar complexes.
Well, that's interesting. I've been thinking about how I could kind of overdose the cotton fabric with calcium just to get as much in there as possible, and then look at things like the cellulose conformation as well as the dyeability of the fabrics and things like that.